you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us on Kaya Biz. Now, there's a registered non-profit called Darkies in Tech, and they've launched a new website that wants to bring together professionals to try and see how they can grow within the South African tech industry. Let's speak to Nsako Mgiba. Nsako, thanks for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Just take us through Darkies in Tech before we go into this new platform that you're launching.
Well, first of all, Nzinga, thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to be here on this platform to talk to you and all of your listeners about Darkies in Tech. So as you mentioned, Darkies in Tech is indeed a registered nonprofit. We operate the largest vetted network for people of color in the South African tech ecosystem. We provide a place for them to belong, to break barriers, and to build a more equitable ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So as a network, we exist to ensure that our members get the support that they need to bridge what we call are the access gaps. So that's access to market, capital, knowledge, talent, and community. And from my personal observation, having tried to build a tech startup in this country, you know, as a person of color, you seemingly have to jump through twice as many hoops to access half the level of opportunities with our counterparts. So really, we exist to ensure that, you know, we can increase the likelihood of success for a person of color to ensure that he has what he needs or what she needs to build successful ventures and ultimately drive transformation in the ecosystem.
Okay, Nsako, you've spoken about how you've built this platform based on a frustration. And I just wonder if you had to narrow it down to three things to understand why it is you feel you have to work twice as hard to get access to half the opportunities. What are those three barriers or challenges to Black founders in tech?
Yeah, well, the first one I would say is the fact that, you know, there are spaces where really high quality, you know, knowledge, networks and capital are flowing. And, you know, oftentimes as people of color, we're not in those rooms, we're not in those corridors. In my first experience building, I found that, you know, due to my education being at UCT, we had access to some of those spaces. Mm-hmm. And at the time we were building a business in the township, a security technology company to democratize access to safety in communities. And, you know, by day I was in the townships of Khayelitsha at the time when I was living in Cape Town. And then by night I was in Stellenbosch in these very, you know, prestigious incubator programs and so forth. And, you know, it was very apparent to us that we were always the only Black founders in the room where this high quality information was flowing. And, you know, when you contrast that to where we were spending our time in the day, you really start to get a sense for, you know, just how this divide is widening. So that was the first frustration that started to grow in me. But what we also noticed as well was that, you know, there were other really incredible Black innovators across the country. And from time we would bump into them, you know, in startup competitions and whatnot. And one thing I realized was that, you know, we're really missing out on this opportunity to share knowledge with one another. You know, at the time, you know, you'd have to kind of go through the same program that someone else had gone through. And those often take anywhere between 6 to 18 months just to get the knowledge. So I thought, why can't we just create a shortcut for ourselves by coming together and sharing knowledge, as we know that, you know, other people groups are in the habit of doing. So that we could really start to trust one another, share knowledge with one another, leverage one another's solutions to ultimately enable traction, which unlocks financing. Mm-hmm. Those are the two major things. I would say I'd narrow it down to those two.
Okay.
And yeah, that ultimately led to me, you know, deciding to, I remember it was on February 2021, to just add all the gifted Black innovators I knew into one group. And I wasn't sure at the time what this would become, but I knew that the first step would have to be unifying and having a conversation around the kind of change that we want to see in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and over time, more of them started to invite others. We would vet them to ensure that, you know, these are startup founders and, you know, we have a shared experience navigating the ecosystem. And wherever that was true, we welcomed that individual into the community with open arms. And yeah. One thing led to another, and today, you know, we're very proud to say that we are now the largest vetted network for people of color in the startup ecosystem.
Incredible. And so what does that do? And I'm interested to know that, because if you are saying we are having a challenge of having access to certain spaces and certain opportunities because of our race or because of our access to these opportunities, what does bringing together people who have the same issues do?
Sure, that's a very good question. So there's this sentiment, you know, in the ecosystem, particularly amongst the investment community and the, I guess, the venture support community, that, you know, these black founders, these excellent black founders are hard to find, you know. And essentially in our operations, we've actually proven that there's more than 400 of us out there who are really building these venture capital, they call them venture capital backed startups, which was, of course, a lot higher than I had originally thought, you know, that that number would be. But I guess it then serves to disprove this notion that we're not out there. And, you know, the power in unifying as people of color building in the space is that now we can actually leverage our collective impact to get the right people in the room to come in and talk to us and share information with us. So we refer to this as hunting in packs. So while it might be difficult for, let's say, for instance, me to get a meeting with the president in my own capacity, but, you know, as a network of about 400 members and affiliates that have collectively raised 5.9 billion rand and have created 3,200 jobs, you know, that starts to get people's attention. You know, we leverage that collective impact to try and ensure that we are having conversations with people who are able to, one, influence policy, but two, also influence, you know, capital flows and ensuring that it trickles down to our founders. Because, you know, and I emphasize this again, we're not just a community of tech enthusiasts, but we are business people who are building scalable tech solutions. So you think about, you know, the Airbnb of Africa, think about, you know, the Facebooks of this world. So these are the kinds of scalable solutions that our members are building.
Okay. Nsako, your point actually refers to something that Issa Rae said. You know, she had that incredible success with her series Insecure, and she was thrown onto a mainstream stage after doing videos. And when she got really famous and really successful, people would, you know, ask her for advice. And one piece of advice that really stuck out for me is she said, you shouldn't try and be with people who have made it, in inverted commas. You need to look around you. And those people around you, you build with, those people that you know are good, those people that you know have good ideas, and together you create good things. Don't look for the person who you assume is successful, because there's 50,000 people trying to speak to them. There's 10 of you, you build something, and it sounds exactly, I mean, you're doing that with a little bit more numbers and a lot more money, it sounds like. So how do people who want to be in the space get hold of you, be part of Darkies in Tech? Do you have to pay fees? How do you vet people as well, so you, there's not chance takers or scammers?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I guess this then is a good transition or segue into our website, which we're really excited about. So, you know, over the years building the network or the community, the initial idea was around, or focus was around, unifying, right? Let's get into the same room. Let's have conversations about the ecosystem and, you know, the opportunities where we can actually transform and bring about systemic change. Now we're at this place where, you know, we've reached a critical mass, and we realize that in order for us to continue to have an impact, we now have to start interacting with the broader tech ecosystem, so that we can achieve our external facing part of our mission, which is to be a driving force for transformation in the broader ecosystem. So the website really then, it becomes, you know, a platform where we can now, you know, communicate our message, our vision, and, you know, really, really clarify that, you know, we're not an adversarial community, but we're a community that wants to engage with the broader ecosystem. We've got really reputable founders who are in our ranks. So if you are someone who's an ally, somebody who wants to partner and resonates with the mission, then you now have a very clear interface where you can understand what we do and how we, you know, we want to interact. So that's the very first thing. But then the second thing is, it also becomes a place for people to go and find the application form. In the past, it was, you know, by like kind of just growing organically, somebody would hear about us, ask for the application, you know, it would be passed along ultimately to the person. But now, you know, if you go to our website at www.darkiesandtech.com, you can see there, apply now. And, you know, just by going through the form, you get a sense of really, you know, what we're trying to understand, and also how, I think maybe stringent is the word, for lack of better words, but just how seriously we're taking this, right? We want to build with people who not only want to come and take from the network, but people who are willing to contribute and raise the overall level of discussion and profile of the community. So yeah, that's essentially how you're able to apply. Once you apply, we have an admissions committee that then reviews the applications and makes a final admissions decision. If you're successful, then you are a member for life. But within the membership, we've got two experiences, I guess. One is an unpaid experience, which is essentially receiving newsletters about the things that are happening within the community and staying on top of things from an update standpoint. But then we also have a paid experience, which is a new thing that we've recently introduced, where, you know, we really put a lot of resources around ensuring that the founders who are a part of this experience get really high quality support. You know, we've got different event formats that we make available for them. We've curated, you know, founder-friendly supplier directories. We've gone out and, you know, spoken to suppliers and gotten special offers for our founders to help them extend, you know, the resources that they have. We've gone out and even, you know, started engaging with corporates to try and see if we can unlock market access, real market access opportunities for our founders. And then based on the information that they provide to us when they apply, we're able to effectively match them with these opportunities whenever we engage with corporates. So there really is a lot of value that we're creating. And, you know, we're just trying to ensure that we become the most helpful and supportive ecosystem for people of color building in this space.
Okay. Ntsako, just in a minute, the World Bank says that digital transformation is going to change and drive Africa's development. There are still so many people in sub-Saharan Africa who don't have access to mobile. I think mobile penetration is 46%. That's what the World Economic Forum says. What's the potential if Africa sorts out the electricity challenge, the infrastructure challenge, and gets people online for youth employment and just for general growth?
Sure, that's a very good question. So first of all, I want to just state that I am a techno-optimist. So what that means is that I really believe that, you know, technology has the potential to solve some of Africa's biggest problems. Mm-hmm. You know, in the absence of, you know, of digital infrastructure, really we're left in the dust, and, you know, we're not globally competitive by any means. So, you know, having that infrastructure is an absolute game changer in terms of connecting, you know, our people to opportunities, not only within South Africa, but on the global scale, right? I've recently returned from a trip to Taiwan where the topic of discussion was digitization, SME digitization. And, you know, it was very interesting to learn how similar South Africa is to Taiwan in terms of, you know, how long we've been a democracy and so forth. And I would say South Africa even has a lot of advantages over Taiwan in the sense that we've got a much younger population on average. We've got a lot more land per person. And it's been absolutely incredible to see how such a small country, but so densely populated, has risen to become the ninth most innovative country in the world. That's Taiwan. And we have all of these advantages going for us. So it really speaks to the amount of potential we have if we get digitization right. Okay. Right. So I really believe that there's a lot of potential here. And I'm really glad that as Docies in Tech, we're ensuring that this upside gets distributed more fairly between, you know, people of color and our white counterparts.
Right. Ntsako Mgiba, Darkies in Tech Founders, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 this evening. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope all of your listeners have a fantastic evening. Bye.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.